that was the Russian Dance from Petrushka Three Movements by Igor Stravinsky, is played by Christopher O'Reilly, who happens to be in the studio with me. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome back, I should say.
Yes, excellent. Always to be here. Thank you, Norman.
In town to play with the Madison Symphony this weekend, the Mozart 22nd Piano Concerto. Also on the program, the overture to Don Giovanni, in case you don't get enough Mozart from Christopher O'Reilly. And then the Glagolitic Mass of Janáček, also on the program. It's tomorrow night at 7:30, Saturday night at 8, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in the Overture Center. And have you... You've recorded lots and lots and lots, so I assume there's some Mozart in there. Have you done recorded the concertos, too?
Never recorded the concertos. You know, the only concerto recording I have is the Rhapsody in Blue with the Royal Philharmonic years ago. But I've been very, very happy with, you know, revisiting 482. It's always been my favorite concerto. And I've come to really, you know, realize and appreciate and be inspired by Mozart as... like Bach and Brahms, primarily a composer of vocal music, and so approaching the piano music in like fashion.
I was going to say, because so often you listen to a concerto, especially the middle movements of a Mozart piano concerto, and it's like, oh, I'm at the opera.
Yeah.
But a beautiful, lyrical kind of opera.
Well, and there are dramatic similarities as well, because not only is the slow movement a beautiful sort of set of variations that sort of presages Beethoven's work in that regard, and the sort of contrast between the soloist and the orchestra as protagonists and antagonists, or just fellow feeling, but yeah. But the last movement, the rondo, is interrupted by another andantino, as if, like in, you know, in Don Giovanni, actually, you know, we have the furor of the finale, and then there's a moment where everybody steps back and says, well, yeah, I guess we all realize our mistakes and our shortcomings, and mm-hmm. there's that wonderful sense of meditation interrupting, you know, these very fervent proceedings, and that's very much an operatic thing.
Yeah, dramatic, mm-hmm. a dramatic kind of thing, and... speaking of songs and operas and piano music, you have recorded at least a couple of CDs among your many that are your transcription. Well, I would call it even a transcription. What term would you use? Your arrangements?
My friend John Hassel, the jazz trumpet player, said that I should call them reimaginings, so we can go with that.
It's a fun study, though, to say listen to the original Nick Drake song and then listen to your reimagining, which is quite a compliment to it.
Yeah, I hope so.
So here's one of those. Nick Drake, tragically short-lived composer, guitarist, singer of the 1960s and early 70s, and you have a whole CD on the World Village label of your reimaginings of these Nick Drake songs. This is one of the better known ones, and it's called Riverman.
Thank you.
one of the reimaginings of the music of Nick Drake by Christopher O'Reilly. Back now with Christopher O'Reilly, and he's in town to play with the Madison Symphony, the Mozart 22nd Piano Concerto, and has a record to all kinds of things, which you may or may not be familiar with, but one of the things that you're very familiar with is From the Top, which is a weekly feature here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Been
Much
going
appreciated.
On for some number of years now.
Yes, I think we're in our 18th year, and the kids just keep coming and getting better and better, and it's just kind of an amazing thing that we're very, very proud of.
So you must have seen a lot of them become, professionals.
Well, they become professionals, or they become professional lawyers or scientists. I mean, there was sort of the joke moment where we had one of the Ali sisters from the Twin Cities on, and I said, so we have you on the show as a violinist, but I understand you're equally proficient on the piano. And I said, so where do your true passions lie? And she said, nanobiology. And so she ended up doing fully funded research, stem cell research at Harvard, so they go all over the place. Classical music is a good brain builder on top of everything else.
Yeah, we see that a lot. We have a fair number of young performers on the midday, which is the program which I do right after this. And often you'll hear that, I'm a great pianist or a great violinist, but I'm actually training to be a biologist or, a physicist or something like that. So, as you say, it's a brain builder. The two so often go together, really great music and those sciences and some of the other very demanding disciplines that they get into out there. What is your take on the slight change of subject here, Alexander Scriabin?
Well, Scriabin, I've loved his music for an awfully long time, but Jane Moss at Lincoln Center put me together with Martha Clark, who wanted to do an evening of choreographing Chekhov's short stories to the music of Alexander Scriabin.
Wow, what an interesting idea.
Yeah, and so there was the Lady and the Lapdog, the Grasshopper.
Sure, personal favorite.
Nervous Breakdown became just a whole setting of the Scriabin 10th Sonata. But a lot of the short pieces, and part of it is his own synesthesia, that there are certain keys that fit well together emotionally and coloristically as well. So it was very easy for me to just play a couple of bars and, Martha said, oh, that goes with Lady in the Left. Oh, that goes with the Grasshopper, that. And so we put together this whole show with four dancers and a Pomeranian on stage.
Really?
Yeah, and played that at the Victory Theater on Broadway and a couple of other places around the country. And so that was how my recording Vers la Flamme came from, all of those pieces that we included in the show.
And Scriabin, known as an early experimenter, speaking of synesthesia, with light
yes.
shows connected
yes.
to the pieces of music.
Yeah, as Mozart and Messiaen, associated specifically keys with colors, Scriabin went even further and associated keys with emotions. So, for instance, I'm a little bit of a synesthetic myself because, let's say Scriabin would hear D and C blue.
Sure.
He'd hear F sharp and C green. And I hear Donald Trump speak and I see red.
On that note, how about some Scriabin?
Sounds
Does
good.
This bring any particular color to mind?
Guirlande is a garland, so various colors. This is a bouquet of flowers.
Thank you.
musical garland provided by Alexander Scriabin and the performer, my guest today, Christopher O'Reilly. And you got to choose your colors for that one because any number of them included.
Absolutely.
Now, how did you come to collaborate with, he calls himself Jimmy, but Sir James Galway?
I think it was Lee Lamont's Irish joke, you know. Jimmy was looking for somebody to play with, and he was an ICM artist, as I was at the time, and so she put us together, and we've toured extensively. We made one recording. I think the first time we met was to go play with, you know, on Gene Shalit's Today Show, literally in the car, and then we rehearsed a little bit and went on the air. And we've had great years playing together off and on, and made this French recital recording, and Jimmy has been an inestimable inspiration in all things. Mostly just knowing that being a superstar is just investing yourself in enjoying every moment that you're on stage and sharing that with the audience.
Yeah, interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nice autobiography too, The Man with the Golden Flute.
Yeah.
Very, very enlightening. Mm-hmm. This is En Bateau from the Petite Suite by Debussy from your French CD. James Galway, the flutist, the pianist, Christopher O'Reilly. Certainly a lovely, graceful approach to, of course, a composer whose music has a great delicacy to it, Claude Debussy. En Bateau from the Petite Suite. The flutist was James Galway and the pianist, Christopher O'Reilly. And you have so many projects, so many things in the works, still working, of course, with From the Top.
Yes, of course.
And more dazzling young musicians coming up for that. Seems to be no end of them. I mean, it seems to be more than ever.
Yes. Well, we now have kids on the program who were inspired by listening to the program and wanted to learn an instrument. So there's that.
So you're approaching the point where somebody's going to say to you, oh, yeah, my father was on this show.
Yes, exactly. We're getting there. Hey, before we sign off, I just want to say we had our first rehearsal together with John Demain and the Madison Symphony last night. And what a great group of people to make music with. I mean, what innate Mozartians, and such an agreeable and exemplarily, taking chances and trying new things, and just wonderful. It's really going to be a fine performance this weekend.
The Mozart 22nd Piano Concerto, the first one that includes clarinets.
Yes.
How about that?
No oboe, gosh.
That. Yeah. Well, Mozart was always, you know.
Yeah.
Tinkering around, as one should. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the date for that, 1785, in his last 6 years, Mozart wrote five, six piano concertos, the last really great ones.
Yeah, I loved those. Yeah,
very, very productive years for Mozart. Any project that's right on the edge of fruition for you?
I'm playing on an off-Broadway show, Basil Twist's Symphony Fantastique, which is a setting of the symphony in Liszt's transcription that I play solo, and I'm the only human on stage. There's a 1,000-gallon tank. And five puppeteers in wetsuits doing the choreography of, you know, fabrics and pieces of plastic. And so that's Ben Brantley gave it a great review. And so, yeah, we're running through mid-July.
Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks, Norman.
A pleasure having you here, Christopher O'Reilly. Here.